Wisconsin's unemployment rate was between 9 and 10% in 2010. Now it's more than half, it's less than half of that, 4.3% in September. But that's kind of tough for 1,000 workers at Oscar Mayer to hear, because they've been told they may be out of a job by 2017. So it's time to talk jobs and worker training with Reggie Newsom, Secretary of the Department of Workforce Development. Mr. Secretary, welcome back to Wisconsin Eye.
Thank you for having me, Steve.
Let's talk, because one of the definitions of news is immediacy. Let's talk about the surprise to all of us, the closing of the Oscar Mayer plant by 2017, loss of 1,000 jobs. I know the governor said he's going to try to contact the company, and maybe Wedix is involved, but your agency is involved. What would your agency be offering some of those 1,000 employees, sir?
Sure. First of all, let me start off by expressing some empathy for those individual workers that are dislocated from their job because of a business decision made by Kraft Heinz. Of course, you know, we're going to do everything we can to support them and help them find new employment. There are some positives in this situation. First of all, the unemployment rate, as you mentioned, in the state of Wisconsin is at 4.3%, mm-hmm. the lowest it's been in 14 years. And throughout the state, we hear that employers are looking for workers. And at Workforce Development, what we'll be able to offer is assistance with those individual employees that have been dislocated with their job from their jobs,
right.
in partnership with Patch Fram over at the South Central Workforce Investment Board. And together, we're going to offer opportunities for retraining and retooling to help them level up skills to find new employment. We're going to connect them to our labor exchange, our Monster Board Job Center Wisconsin website, where we have 83,000 jobs posted on that website right now.
That intrigues me. 83,000. Yeah.
83,000, right.
83,000.
83,000.
That's jobs in Wisconsin and in neighboring states, isn't it, sir?
Yeah.
Okay.
In border states of Wisconsin and those counties. So we're going to connect them up with the website, Jobs in Wisconsin, help them with their resume, their profile, their interview, connect them with employers that are looking. And we've already had several employees reach out to both Workforce Development and Pat Schrem over at her office, expressing opportunity to be able to hire these individuals.
If I've been working at Oscar Mayer in Madison for 12 or 13 years and I'm in my mid-40s, what's your career advice to someone like me who's been told I'm going to be out of work within 15 months?
Well, the one thing that we don't think about when we do our jobs every day is that we develop experience and skills and competencies throughout the years. And many times those unique skills and competencies transfer or translate to other jobs, industries, and sectors. But we just don't think about that because we're working every day and we're in our job. So our advice would be, and we're going to work with these individuals, and I know Pat Schramm knows this as well. We're going to identify those skills that are transferable to other industries and offer and connect them to those employment opportunities. And where there may be a gap between the job they're looking for and the job they currently have, through our training programs, Wisconsin Fast Forward and other training programs at the Technical College, Madison College, we'll be able to do quick hitter training programs to help them bridge that gap and get them into new employment.
Should many of them consider going back to school to get additional skills, Mr. Secretary?
Well, sure. Many of our workers that are dislocated from their jobs or no far at home do that. They go back to school and they get those skills and competencies and do training programs at Madison College. They offer up a lot of quick programs, you know, 18 weeks, 12 weeks, 13 weeks. So it's not a long-term situation where they have to be in school for years. With that quick hitter or training, they can get back into employment pretty quickly.
Is the silver lining here, if there is one, the fact that they're being potentially laid off in the 15-17 window and not 5 years ago when the economy was so much rougher, sir?
Well, it is. Again, 83,000 jobs posted on our Jobs in Wisconsin website. Employers have already reached out to us, indicating they want to hire these individuals, talk to them. Again, the economy is certainly moving in the right direction. Our low unemployment rate, low weekly claims for unemployment insurance. So again, that is the silver lining. But again, that may be very difficult for an individual worker, Oscar Mayer, to hear. Again, that's why we want to express empathy and let them know that we're going to do everything we can through that support, through our training programs at Workforce Development to help them find a good job.
In the wake of the announcement of Oscar Mayer, Kurt Bauer of WMC said, there are manufacturing jobs out there, but there's this caveat. They're not the manufacturing jobs of the 1970s, 80s, and 90s. What's the difference?
Well, the difference is that many of these manufacturing jobs are highly skilled, highly technical jobs. Manufacturing is not dirty and dangerous jobs anymore. These are highly technical jobs. And again, what we can offer at Workforce Development with our partners out there is that training. Again, training that can end up leaning to a credential certification over a quick training program, like I said, 9, 10, 12-week training program to help them find employment in those jobs, and those jobs pay very well.
You've now mentioned twice, and it's an issue that that really intrigues me. 83,000 jobs posted on the jobs board. Is that number going up as the economy gets better, sir?
Well, just a few weeks ago, we had over 100,000 job postings on the jobs board, Job Center Wisconsin. And again, if you think about an unemployment rate, 4.3%, the lowest it's been in 14 years. Number of unemployment insurance claims are down. Number of people participating in the workforce is up. 45,000 jobs created in Wisconsin year over year. Over 150,000 jobs created since the governor's taken office. Again, but you think about those number of jobs posting, mm-hmm. again, it tells us that we need to make sure that we're doing everything we can to make sure that we have the skilled workers needed for employer demand in Wisconsin. So again, that's what it's all about, and what the governor's talked about is providing those training programs to help make sure that we're skilling up the workforce for those jobs.
Some of the employers, and you've heard from them, and Wisconsin I has covered their events, they say that there is a pretty significant skills gap. So here's my question. The skills gap was debated 2 and 3 years ago. Are we getting better at solving that skills gap, sir?
Well, I would advocate and indicate that we have all the assets in place. We have some of the best technical colleges in the country. We're the envy of other states here in Wisconsin. The governor has made sure, and through the legislature, that we invested over $100 million in worker training here in Wisconsin, the creation of the Wisconsin Fast Forward program. We've invested in our technical colleges to help them get individuals into training as quickly as possible to add capacity there. We have aligned our partners in economic and workforce development to be able to meet the demand. So again, this investment in helping skill up Wisconsin's workforce has been on the forefront of the governor's agenda over the last 4 years.
Let's talk about the uninsurance, the U of I, the unemployment insurance system, which your agency administers. I was intrigued doing research for the show. We have gone from running deficits of $1.3 billion in 2010. Now we have a surplus. What's your estimate of the surplus in the U of I fund at the end of this calendar year, sir?
Well, sure. We're projecting a surplus of about $600 million at the end of this calendar year and $900 million at the end of next year, towards the end of December 2016. Mm-hmm. And again, that's in a stark contrast to where it was at the end of 2010, as you mentioned, $1.3 billion. So again, it's certainly moving in the right direction, which will save employers, but also it's indicated that the economy is getting stronger here in Wisconsin.
Well, when I did my homework from the Legislative Reference Bureau, so that'll enable us to go from employers paying, Schedule A this year, and they're going to pay Schedule B, which is less next year, correct?
Sure.
How much is that going to save Wisconsin employers?
Well, the change in schedules, going from a Schedule A to a Schedule B, would save employers about $97 million in unemployment insurance tax.
Okay.
And going from a B to C, which is also a possibility, would save them another $37 million in unemployment insurance tax. And if you think about what employers will be investing in, this gives employers the opportunity to invest into their businesses and their company capital, but also into their workers, which is something that I know employers that I talk to on a daily basis look forward to.
So the U of I fund has rebounded, and we will now post a balance of about $600 million by the end of 2015 and potentially $900 million at the end of 2016.
Correct.
But still, the April 15 report by your agency to the governor and the ledge says, in case of a significant economic downturn, it expresses a concern we might not have. So my question is, what's the overall health of the U of I fund, sir?
Which is much better if you think about it, like I said before.
Yeah, going from 1.3 down,
yeah.
billion down.
Yeah, going from 1.3 billion down to projected 900 million in the right direction by the end of next year. And again, that's something that we're constantly looking at. I know that the Unemployment Insurance Advisory Council, made up both employers mm-hmm. and laborers, are constantly looking at things that we can put in place and recommend to the legislature. I know the legislature is also paying close attention to this in case Wisconsin faces another recession, making sure that the solvency of the fund can be in a way that we can endure that. And again, we made some really common sense reforms to make sure that we have the fund going in the right direction, but also saving employers millions of dollars in unemployment insurance taxes, such as common sense reforms around the one-week wait period. Again, focuses on waste, fraud, and abuse, improper payments, making sure that we're doing everything to make sure that we don't make improper payments. Again, referring more cases of identified fraud to district attorneys throughout the state of Wisconsin to prosecute those type of things, to serve as a deterrent. So all these things, again, reduce the number of reasons you can quit a job to receive unemployment insurance. And also, one of the toughest things that employers can do and bosses can do is to release or discharge an employee. No one ever wants to do that. But when that does happen, decreasing the reasons why you can receive unemployment insurance if someone quits a job or has to be released from their job from misconduct or malfeasance. So those common sense reforms have really helped the solvency of the fund in the bottom line.
Do you have an estimate of how much cracking down on potential fraud has saved in the U of I program, Mr. Secretary?
Well, it's tens of millions of dollars. Anytime you can stop an improper payment up front or deal with an issue of irregularity for a payment going out, that saves the trust fund tens of millions of dollars.
And is that the reason that you're on track to pay $371 million to employees covered by, to workers covered by covered employers this year?
Right.
And that's the lowest in decades, right?
Right. And again, those common sense reforms, as I mentioned, the issues of weed, not waste, fraud, and abuse, the common sense reforms around some of the things I did mention in 1 week wait period, as well as the economy getting stronger. The 4.3% unemployment rate in Wisconsin and claims going down increases that bottom line.
It was originally in the budget and then it was taken out. Now it's being debated separately. Should it be a felony if you falsely claim jobless benefits, Mr. Secretary?
Well, sure. We think that any improper payment or any fraudulent payments going out should be taken very seriously. And again, the legislature increased the administrative penalties for these issues around improper payment and misconduct and issues like that, as well as providing additional support and resources for the department to have stronger program integrity.
What's the current maximum benefit?
Well, the current maximum benefit, it went up from $363 in 2014 to $370 right now.
And what do you project given the health of the U of I Trust Fund? Do you expect it to stay at $370 in 16 and 17, or too soon to tell?
Well, it's too soon to tell. Again, the legislature just increased it, so we'll see what they do next go around.
Oh, okay. It's their call, and there's no automatic trigger on the part of the agency.
Well, sure. It's between the legislature at potentially at the recommendation of the Unemployment Insurance Advisory Council.
That council, yeah. Made up of employer and labor groups.
Correct.
The provision in the budget that said to get U of I benefits, jobless benefits, you must be drug tested. Can you update us on where that stands, sir?
Sure. Well, we're working very closely to put together a proposal on how we're going to handle it right now. We're waiting for the federal government ultimately to give us the final guidance on how we're going to attack this type of thing. And again, we're waiting for the guidance. We're waiting for a list of occupations that they deem would be eligible for drug testing. And again, in the budget, the legislature provided us and directed us to start working on our own list of occupations that would be eligible for or impacted by drug testing, and that we're currently working on that list right now. So we'll have that finalized and we'll be sharing that, and we're partnering and working with the council to identify what those would be.
Does the Obama administration support drug testing to get jobless benefits? What's their position on that?
Well, the Congress passed legislation around drug testing, the president signed it, but they haven't given us the final guidance, so we're waiting on that from the federal government.
Would then, I don't understand. So it would drug test for just certain jobs, certain careers, and not others? So what are some potential examples?
Well, it would be some, for example, I would think operating a truck driving would be one that you wouldn't want to be have a occupation or a worker that's operating a truck under the influence. It could be others, large equipment. We'll have to wait and see what the feds give us in terms of ultimately the occupations that they think, and then our own list in partnership with the council.
When you talk to employers across Wisconsin, which I know you do, Do they continue to say one of their biggest problems is finding employees that can pass drug tests, Mr. Secretary?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we view this as important paramount as well, because to receive unemployment insurance benefits, you have to be available and ready to work. And if you're under influence, that could be impactful. But the most important thing that I view, and I know the governor feels this way as well, is that we want to treat this as an issue of helping UI claimants and individuals that may be under influence receive the drug treatment that they need mm-hmm. to get back and ready and available for work. So this is actually preparing them for being able to go into the labor force versus a penalty or something like that.
Can you walk us through that? If somebody applying for you for jobless benefits takes the drug test and fails, what happens next to them? Do they automatically lose their benefits, or what's the process? Or is there a treatment?
Well, we would do right now, we would work with them to get treatment. And as long as they're doing treatment and going through that whole process, they would continue to receive benefits. So again, this is not punitive. This is to help and assist them being prepared for work.
Now, when I interviewed another cabinet secretary, she said the food share program, the same drug testing requirement, was being held up in a lawsuit. Does that lawsuit also affect drug testing for U of I programs, sir?
No. Again, as I mentioned, Congress passed legislation, the president signed it, so we're just waiting for guidance from the federal government on those occupations.
Has any indication of how soon you're going to get that?
No indication. We've been waiting a little bit now, and we'll see when they come forward with that. But again, in the budget, the legislature directed us to come out with our own occupations, and we're working on that.
Once the feds come out with those, then your agency would do rules, and those would have to be approved by the governor and then published. When's the earliest, do you think, that after the feds publish their rules, that Wisconsin participants to get jobless benefits could have to be drug tested?
I can't say at this point. Again, we have to wait for the guidance. We have to work with the UI Advisory Council to put together those policies and rules, and they have to go to the legislature. And so it's too soon to tell. We're just waiting for the final guidance from the feds.
You see an awful lot of stats. What are the jobs of the future out there in Wisconsin?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that question, because this is something I want to make sure that your viewers and the listeners are aware of, is that 70% of the jobs in the state of Wisconsin over the next 10 to 15 years will be jobs that require training beyond high school, but not necessarily a four-year college degree. They require some sort of credential certification beyond high school, but not necessarily a four-year college degree. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't honor all pathways here in Wisconsin, all career pathways. But again, we need to make sure that we're lining up our training programs with that demand, and make sure that we build awareness for parents and guardians, for young people, to make sure they're developing their plan for what pathway they're going to follow. And some of those jobs, we call them the middle school jobs, mm-hmm. are in healthcare and information technology and manufacturing, nursing, construction laborers. Those are some of the hot jobs. But again, those jobs, middle school jobs, don't require a four-year degree. So we're going to do everything we can to get that message out to help make sure that young people are making good choices about the careers that they're going to choose going forward.
What's your advice to parents who have a sophomore, a junior, a senior, and they're weighing the potential high cost of a four-year college or university, be it private or public, versus maybe some of the tech colleges? So what's your advice if the jobs of the future are going to be jobs that don't necessarily need a four-year college degree?
Well, I would encourage them to make sure that their kid or their aunt, uncle, niece, nephew, whoever it may
sure.
be.
Guardian, whoever,
has an opportunity to get some type of work-based learning opportunity in high school. Take as many career and technical education classes as possible. Make sure they're focusing on developing those skills. And again, look very strongly at the technical colleges to get a one-year certificate or two-year degree, or as I mentioned, some quick hitter training program to get some type of industry-recognized credential certification. And again, we honor all pathways here in Wisconsin. We need four-year college graduates in every industry and sector, and that's very important. But we want to have a diversity in those type of things, and I encourage them to look at that, make sure they're doing internships. Mm-hmm. And the biggest kept secret, which I don't know why, but last week in Wisconsin, Governor Walker declared Apprenticeship Week throughout
yes.
the state of Wisconsin.
Yes.
And apprenticeships are a fantastic opportunity for the future workforce to be looking at, where they can earn while they learn, get training, earn a credential, a certification for those middle-skilled jobs, and not incur that debt and deficit that they may incur going to a four-year, getting a four-year degree, which may not lend itself to finding a job very quickly once they graduate.
Do you see apprenticeships growing across Wisconsin?
Oh, absolutely. We've seen growth in Wisconsin over the last few years, and we're going to continue to go down that trajectory of growing the program. Our goal in Wisconsin is to put 1,000 new apprentices into the marketplace over the next 4 years in non-traditional sectors such as healthcare and information technology, mm-hmm. along with the tried and true industries, the industrial and manufacturing, trades, and construction. We're going to continue to do those because we have a need there, but we believe there are apprenticeable opportunities in service sector, healthcare, and information technology.
1,000 new apprenticeship. Now, is that 1,000 new employers or 1,000 new apprenticeship slots?
Well, 1,000 new apprenticeship slots mean 1,000 new jobs.
1,000 new jobs.
1,000 new jobs, because to have an apprenticeship, you need an employer that offers a job and the individual worker that accepts their apprenticeship.
And what do you contemplate in the new DWD incentives for these employers to start these new apprentices?
Oh, absolutely. And again, we're going to be working to build their awareness. We received a grant from the federal government to build out these 1,000 new apprentices. And the one unique thing that we're going to be doing at workforce development in Wisconsin, we roughly have between 2,000 and 3,000 young people, high school juniors and seniors, that complete our youth apprenticeship program. Mm-hmm. And we're going to work to create a bridge between youth apprentices, the 2,000 to 3,000 individuals, making sure they are aware about registered apprenticeship in Wisconsin, and creating a bridge if they choose to go from youth apprenticeship into registered apprenticeship, and make it intentional and formalize that process going forward. So we're getting individual young people into the labor force as quickly as possible.
Are they willing, do you encounter the most resistance from employers saying, I don't want the red tape of starting this program, or youth saying, oh, I don't want to be an apprentice?
I think it's more awareness. I think it's going to be young people really thinking about those opportunities and knowing what it takes, but also knowing that they're available, because I constantly hear from employers, and know the governor as well, that they can take on these apprentices and they want these skilled workers, because as we mentioned, we have a skills gap, and this is one solution to bridge that gap.
2 or 3 years ago, there were a lot of headlines and news stories about the shortage of welders. So here's my question. 2 to 3 years later, is that shortage worse, or do we have more qualified welders in the pipeline being trained?
Well, we have more qualified workers in the pipeline being trained, but also the demand for welders continues to grow. So again, it's trying to keep up with the demand in the state.
And so if I'm a parent out there and maybe my son or daughter might be a qualified welder, where should I steer my son or daughter to learn more about becoming a welder?
I have them talk to their school counselor at the individual school, their teacher, or you can talk to someone at the Department of Workforce Development. They can contact us or visit the local job center.
The fact that Wisconsin, you've seen the demographic profiles, we're getting older. What is that? What are the implications of the aging Wisconsin residents for the workforce?
Well, I use the analogy within the agency. It's kind of the analogy that Ted Thompson for the Green Bay Packers uses, a draft and develop strategy in Wisconsin. So we have to make sure that everyone in Wisconsin, all able-bodied individuals in Wisconsin, are trained and skilled to be able to meet the demand of the workforce, but also look at what employers may consider non-traditional pool of workers. Mm-hmm. In 2014, Governor Walker declared it a year of better bottom line in Wisconsin. Make sure that we accentuate the abilities of people with disabilities in Wisconsin, because those individuals that have disabilities can provide unique assets and skills for employers. So breaking down or dispelling perceptions about what it means to hire a person with disabilities is something that we're constantly working on. Veterans, making sure that employers know about the ability to hire veterans, but also individuals that are going to be coming back into the labor force, relocating from our correctional institutions and facilities, mm-hmm. and tapping into that pool of workers as well, and making sure that when they leave the institution that they have the skills and competencies to be able to meet the demand, and also working with employers that think differently about that type of thing.
Baby boomers, you've read the national stories. They're increasingly working maybe part-time and working longer. Are they still in jobs that you'd like to see maybe some younger workers grow into in the future here?
Well, if you talk to employers, they want to make sure that they have a good succession. So any person as a seasoned worker in a business or a company and creating that transition or succession plan, that's something that I know employers are constantly looking at. How do they succeed their workforce? So again, that's an individual choice. But what we want to do on the front end is make sure that every high school student, I know that everyone feels strongly about this, are ready to go into the workforce right out of high school or have the abilities to go on to post-secondary.
The governor's budget in February, as you know, recommended the transfer of the workers' comp program to the OCI, the Office of the Commissioner of Insurance. The legislature turned that down. Is that transfer still worth doing?
Well, actually, it was kind of a good arrangement here, because in the budget, the governor proposed that the program go over to, it was a split between the hearing and appeals function.
To DOA.
Going to DOA hearing and appeals.
Right.
And the administrative function going over to the Office of Commissioner of Insurance.
Right.
Again, the legislature made a decision and supported the governor's part of the transfer, which we're executing right now.
Yeah. That's the hearing officer.
The hearing officer going over DOA hearing and appeals, and we're continuing to do the administration portion of it. So I think that was a good deal. And we'll see what happens in the future, either with the governor, if he comes back at that proposal, or the legislature reconsiders it.
Okay, well, we're almost out of time. Maybe a final question is, as you look out over the next few years, what do you see as the major challenges and, well, every challenge presents an opportunity for an achievement in the area of workforce training and Wisconsin's workforce over the next few years, sir?
I think the biggest challenge that we face here is making sure that both parents and guardians are armed with the information to help inform a good choice for their kid or the young person in their lives, and making sure that awareness of what that is lined up with the future demand of the state's economy.
And maybe just one more question. You've been with the agency since 2011, I mm-hmm. think. How has the dialogue changed and the different issues in terms of workforce training? What issues have emerged?
Well, I think it's a couple of things. Stronger partnerships and collaborations that are strategically aligned with the needs of the state's economy. And also, the governor talks about this, that workforce and economic development should be a hand-in-glove relationship. They're pretty uniform and the same. And again, I think what we've done here under the governor's leadership is to break down the silos between economic development and workforce development, and really driving thought leadership and scaling workforce development training programs at a regional level. Again, you have education, K-12, post-secondary, along with economic development, chambers, employers, associations, and the workforce development partners in the room talking about how do we align our resources to be able to meet the demand of employers regionally throughout the state. And I think that conversation is stronger than as it ever has been in the state of Wisconsin since the governor's taken office.
And you sound pretty bullish on our state economy. Can our unemployment rate come down from 4.3, or are we essentially at full employment right now?
Well, we'll see. I know we're going to do everything we can to continue to make sure that every Wisconsinite that wants to work has access to the training opportunities to be able to find a job, and help employers both on a regulatory and a tax standpoint be able to want to grow and expand their businesses to create additional jobs.
It's more fun to be secretary in 2015 when your unemployment, when your U of I fund is running a balance of $600 million, isn't it?
Right, yeah. And we want to keep it that way.
Fine, thank you. Reggie Newsom is secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development. Mr. Newsom, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.